All right, hello, saints.
Hello.
Great to be together again today. You can open to 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 5, new chapter, so it's exciting, at least for me. I don't know how exciting it is for you, but hopefully it'll be some new considerations for you. Maybe not. But it's interesting. The Holy Spirit is amazing. I think I say this a lot, but a lot of what was brought out this morning and in the Daniel class and the meditations will have some overlap tonight. So that's a pretty cool thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. It says, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in the body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For the Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and of wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. All right, let's have a word of prayer. God in heaven, we are grateful to you. We're grateful for King Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And the very anchor to our souls. We're grateful for the example that he has given us, either in when he was here in the flesh on earth or riding from heaven and from the throne. So we know that all things, all good things come down from heaven, and the scriptures are definitely one of those, a blessing and a miracle in and of itself. And in these scriptures, we have some encouragement, some reminders, and some warnings even that we are in this world, but we are not of it. We are from above. And the reminder for us to have that kingdom focus and to have the mindset on the spirit and not on the flesh, so that we may reap peace and life rather than corruption. So we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so a lot of things that was thinking of that I wanted to bring out, and I'm already behind, so we'll just keep this short. A lot of things, I mean, it's one thing that's pretty obvious in our world today, and it was pretty evident in Corinth. You don't have to look very far. People just mess things up, right? People are just messed up, and people just make a real mess of things, make a mess of their lives. And you don't have to really go into people's houses to do Bible studies to see this, right? You drive on the same roads as they do, right? You shop in the same stores as they do. You work with some of them, right? And just people are just, they've messed up their lives. And I'm just, as a side note, I don't know why I'm continually shocked when you go to the stores and you see these brats running around. Like, it's just shocking to me, like, how bad some of these kids are allowed to act in public. It's just shocking to me. When I was raised up, if I had acted like that in a store, I'd be walloped so quick and I would be limping home without a ride, right? It's just shocking to me, and it just is evidence as to how far gone this world is, the seriousness of the problems that this world has. And it's just, it's not going to get any better because of those brats running around are going to be running the country someday, right? And so it's scary, and it's actually not funny. But so people, they allow the flesh to run rampant in their lives. right? They allow the flesh to direct their lives. And of course, what follows is corruption and destruction. And what we're going to look at is that if you reap from the flesh, you will sow from the flesh. Okay? And so that's true of the world, brethren. And the thing that I want to bring out well tonight is the church isn't immune to those things. We have to be on guard because some of those things can creep into the Lord's body. And so we need to be ever vigilant. Okay? Here's the thing. Everyone has freedom of choice. Right? Everyone has freedom of choice. When we get immersed into Christ, we get a fresh start, but God doesn't take away our free will. Okay, we have to continue in that. Everyone has a choice. Romans 8 and 6 says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, right? But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace, right? Mr. Toole talks about it a lot. The mindset is hugely important. That's kind of why I came up with where you live in Christian. Where is your focus? Is it on the flesh or is it on the spirit? Because you will reap what you focus on. Okay, either our mind is going to be set on the flesh or it's going to be set on the spirit. Okay, and if a person has a fleshly mindset, then you can expect fleshly results from that. If a person sows to the flesh, then from the flesh, Galatians 6 says, you will reap corruption. Now, if on the other hand, your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, then you can expect to reap spiritual things. You can expect spiritual results. And if you sow to the Spirit as having focused on the Spirit, then you can receive life and peace, as it says in Romans 8. Well, we got to be careful, though, okay? Scripture warns us. So I'm thankful for Paul here in 1 Corinthians. He's warning us, be on guard. Right? Be on guard. The flesh can creep in just little bit by bit. I remember Jay just always saying that, you know, that's the danger of it is the subtlety. It can creep in bit by bit. And so we have to be on guard. Before you know it, something that you have escaped and overcome before can suddenly creep back in and entangle you back up in that. Okay? If you're not on guard. And we know that if you're entangled and overcome again, by that same thing, Scripture says that the last state becomes worse than the first. Right? And so that's something we got to fight against, brethren. We got to fight in this spiritual warfare. We have to continually fight that. And there were divisions in Corinth, weren't there? There were a lot of divisions. We've brought that out well before. But the thing is, you know what the real problem was? It was a fleshly mindset. It's what it was. It was a fleshly mindset. And so Paul is addressing this, particularly for the sin that's in the camp, right? That this was going on and it wasn't being dealt with. Okay, it's not a fun thing to bring out, okay? Sin, the issue of sin. You know, what we're going to look at is immorality. It's not a fun topic, okay? But it has to be addressed. It was well brought out this morning. You know, some of those things aren't fun, but you have to tell the truth. We have to stand on the truth. And that's what Paul is getting on them. So the encouragement here in this, brethren, is we want to be on guard. We have to be on guard, personally and as a congregation. So we'll unpackage that a little bit tonight regarding this case of immorality. This is the sin that was in the camp, right? It wasn't being dealt with. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for God's word. I appreciate the Lord's work that he does in that. And it because the Lord's word clearly delineates right from wrong, doesn't it? Clearly delineates right from wrong. Is the law holy? Is the law righteous? Yes, it is. So the law is the standard, right? That's its purpose. It sets the standard of what is good, what is holy, and what is righteous. If you subscribe to it, right? And so, but the shortcomings of the law, brethren, is that the law themselves couldn't produce a people to keep it. That's the problem. Okay, but the law was good. It had a purpose, and we'll look at that. Paul would say in Galatians 3, 24 and 25 that it's our tutor to lead us to Christ. Right? The purpose of the new covenant then is to change our mind and our hearts. Right? Because that is the inner man. And so that It's this way so that we can be a people justified by faith, is what he says. No longer needing a tutor, right? And so we're called to grow up in Christ. And so that may be also that we would fulfill the righteousness of the law. That's for us. But the law sets the standard, right? And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that we have a track to run on. Without a standard, you're right, I'm right, everyone's right. No one's wrong. What kind of world is that? Well, fortunately, we're living in it right now. But you take a person that's a non-Christian, one of our responsibilities is to point their face into the law, isn't it? That's what it's there for. It's to show them that they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? And it's uncomfortable. Again, it was brought up this morning. That's an uncomfortable conversation. It gets a... Okay, here we go. Right? But that's our responsibility. And so the Ten Commandments... The Ten Commandments has a purpose, doesn't it? I wish that the Ten Commandments were still on the walls of the schools, right? And on the walls of the courthouses. And it was... Whether they're on the walls or not, there is a standard. There is a standard. It's God's standard. And so we'll bring that out well tonight. Actually, the Ten Commandments, the majority of those are particularly in relation to our relationship with other people, right? It's tough to argue, though, that those are any different than the law of the conscience, right? That God, the law of conscience that God put in all of us. The law reinforces that law of the conscience. So it seems like God had a plan, right? But what tends to happen, though, is the conscience gets a little weak, right? Gets a little weak. And there's a reminder in those laws, isn't there? There's a reminder. Those laws are right, they're good, and they're holy. Okay, but one of the Ten Commandments is, though, what we're dealing with tonight is thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? The immorality. There's a situation in Corinth going on, and there's a problem. There's a problem with immorality. And so it's clear, brethren, God's plan for marriage was laid out from the very beginning. Okay? And that plan is one man, one woman, one time. Right? One man, one woman, joined together in marriage one time. That was God's plan. Okay, and so I realize that some of us have deviated from the plan in our past, right? Okay, and that's okay because in Christ, that's what God died on the cross for, was to take that away from us. Okay, and that could be truly our past. But now in Christ, okay, our past is forgiven. We have the opportunity to move forward in something new, right? Forgiven and forgotten. But we also have to be serious about moving forward from here. We have to be serious about from this point forward, okay, about the decisions that we make because, again, we all have freedom of choice, freedom of will. Okay, Genesis 2, verse 24. You can turn there. You know it from the beginning, right? Right away, right? God told Adam, I guess you don't have to turn there. It's a pretty well-known verse, but for this cause, it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and should be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so God laid that forth from the beginning. Right there's his plan, okay? His plan, one woman, one man, forever. It was not Adam and Steve, okay? It was Adam and Eve, one man, one woman, right? And so the world has mucked that up. It's been mucked up for a while. This is the way God had it planned. The one man, Adam and Eve, right? And it was not Adam, Eve, and Jane. Right? One man, one woman, one time. That was God's plan. And so now you need to you don't need to read very far into the Old Testament, though, that you see the deviation from this plan, right? I can remember asking Mr. Simpson, when I was a new Christian, what about all these old faithful greats that seemingly have more than one wife? Okay, what's that all about? I don't get that. That was kind of the head scratcher for me back then. And he says, well, did God ordain that? Nope. Did it happen? Yeah, because people deviated from the plan. Right? And so God has a plan. It's our choice to make whether we follow it or not. Okay? In Matthew chapter 19, the question comes up concerning the issue of divorce. And we're pretty familiar with that. You can read that on your own. But it's very clear. By the way, Jesus defines divorce as adultery, doesn't he? Not sure about that? Go back and read it. That's what he says. And in case you were wondering, he says that he did not allow that. But he clarifies when he says it's because of the hardness of your heart that Moses allowed that, right? He permitted divorce. But from the beginning, it wasn't intended to be that way. It was not intended to be that way. God clarified his plan. One man, one woman, one time. Right? That's God's plan. The New Testament confirms this also in Hebrews 13. You can turn there. We were just in Hebrews 12. Maybe the pages are still warm. You know, I'm not telling us anything new, brethren. This is really a messed up world that we're living in. And sometimes we're out there in the world. We're not of it. But we were all formerly of it. Right? At one point in our lives, before we came to Christ. And so what's normal can really become warped, can it? What's acceptable can really become warped. It is scary how sick and perverse things can become the norm. And how quickly that it can become the norm. The world has a way of desensitizing us. Right? We start thinking that stuff's normal. That's sin, by the way. God clearly defines immorality as sin. In Hebrews 13, verse 4, it says marriage is to be held in honor among all, and that the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That's pretty direct, okay? What does God want from Christians? He wants us to be the salt of the earth, right? We're supposed to influence the world. He wants us to influence the world, not the world influencing us. That's the purpose. And so the issue on marriage is very clear. God wants that marriage bed undefiled. Okay, and then he lists two groups, fornicators and adulterers. God will judge. That's pretty straightforward. And sometimes people don't know really what these words mean. Simply put, fornication is a sexual relationship prior to marriage. Pretty simple. Adultery then is if you are married but you have a sexual partner other than your wife. Okay? Fornication, adultery, God will judge. God says both of these, he will judge. And so, brethren, it's very clear this is God's standard of what's right and what's wrong. And the world has completely deviated from it, right? Have some of us messed that up previously in our past? Yes. Does that mean that we're in an eternal state of condemnation? No. Because Christ came to save us from that, right? Our past is gone. And to that I say amen and amen, right? Thank the Lord. I can barely even stand to look at old pictures of myself because that life, I don't even want to be reminded of it. Christ saved me from that. Okay, but God does expect us now as Christians to get this right. Because the temptation is there even in the church, brethren. And we as God's ambassadors are to set the standard for the world of what is right and what's wrong. And that's wrong. And that makes people's hair stand up. But it's the truth. Is it loving to tell them that? If your neighbor's house was on fire, would it be loving for you to ignore it? Or would it be loving for you to run over there and try to get them out? See, the world, the problem with that is that the world accepts most of the immorality as normal. And that's why people get mad. And what we're going to bring out, maybe not tonight, oh, definitely not tonight, but when you see that, you're arrogant. We'll get to that next time. But the majority of people you see nowadays live together before they're married. Isn't that a little backwards? But it's the norm these days. Right? You watch a movie, pretty much any movie with relationships in it. They show people living together before you ever see a wedding, if you ever see one at all. And it may or may not be a man and a woman, right? That's how far gone this society is. And so we have to be on guard for that. Okay, it didn't used to be that way. Things have changed. The norm has changed. The standard is perverted. And so part of that is that it's accepted by the world. Now, but part of that is that the media pushes it too, right? It's accepted, largely accepted by the people, but the media pushes those things, right? Close to 50% divorce rate. That's sickening. That's just bad. Okay, this is God's plan, and yet over half of us are wrong in this area. In my past. And you can tell this is a major temptation, brethren, because even amongst the Christians, you know, we've had divorces within the church. It's becoming more and more frequent in this congregation, in Bozeman's congregation, in other congregations. Christians are divorcing. It's a problem. And we have to guard against it being in the church. Okay? Among people that do stay married, who knows what the percentage of those are unfaithful, right? I don't know. I wouldn't want to know a number, but how could you even put a number to that? Okay? Here's what's sickening is the media celebrates that. Actually celebrates it. You know, we don't watch cable TV, but the three major networks, if there's three still, maybe there's four now, I don't know. The programming on, just if you notice some of the ads, wherever, print, whatever, it's sick. The shows that are coming out now, they actually celebrate all of this. And it's deemed as norm, as acceptable. It's completely unacceptable. Okay, it's messed up. The world's normal is not the standard. God's word is the standard. Okay? And so this is what God wants, is for us to be his ambassadors, as what the scriptures call us, and to deliver that right from wrong, to stand up and be that voice. So this is the kind of stuff, though, that can creep into the church. So we got to guard against it. We have to guard against it. Even if the world acknowledges wrongdoing, in extreme cases, sometimes it's getting fewer and fewer cases, but even the world will acknowledge extreme cases, right? I'm thinking of, I don't know how many years back, though, but when Tiger Woods' story came out, right? Here's a beloved sports figure, right? Held up as like one of the best of all times, right? And even the world acknowledged that that's messed up. Like, this guy's got a problem. He's married, all the while he's married, and he had like 11, 12 mistresses or whatever while he was married. Even the world came out and said, that guy's messed up, right? But in Corinth, these guys were allowing this to go on in the church, and Paul's like, hey, this can't happen. He takes issue with these guys, right? This is not right. So, brethren, one of the problems, and there's a lot of problems in so-called Christianity out there, but one is that that people don't stand on sound doctrine. We talked about it the last time. We have to be pillars in support of that truth. We have to stand on sound doctrine. But the other one is that they don't stand firm on righteousness. you know, we can just give a little bit of give here. You know, it's okay. No, we have to stand firm on righteousness. Okay, they just want people coming in and filling the pews, and we don't care. We don't care to know about your life. Okay, just come in. Come on in. Okay, it doesn't matter. Brethren, the scriptures are clear what is right and what is wrong and what we should do about it, how we should be living our lives. So again, as God's ambassadors, we have the responsibility to preach the truth from the scriptures, to say what is right and what is wrong, and to live a righteous life. And again, I want to make it clear, it doesn't matter what we did pre-Christ, because Christ paid that debt, okay? But we need to do things right moving forward. That's what Paul's working on here. Sin in the camp, by the way, impacts the whole army of God. And you think about it. How effective was the church in Corinth for the Lord? How effective was it? Doesn't look like it was very effective. Okay? There was one fire after another fire, right? And Paul's like, what are you doing, right? And you can't be very effective with the lost if you can't take care of stuff in your own camp. You can't. You are not going to be effective individually or collectively. Sin in the camp impacts the whole army of God. I don't know exactly the way this works totally, but I know that some of it's just natural consequence for sin. Some of it's just natural consequence for sin, but fleshly mindedness causes divisions in the church. It causes issues in the church, and so the church can't move forward individually or collectively. But also there's the spiritual divine intervention here, where God protects us when we do what's right, and that protection is removed when we don't. Okay? And we won't go into it tonight. This is a good stopping place. But you take Joshua chapter 7, right? Achan, right? Mr. Simpson did a great message of years back. My Achan taken heart, right? Go look that up. It's a great message. Achan didn't do things God's way. And what we're going to look at is that not only did Achan pay the ultimate price and his family, go back and read that. So did God's army. They lost, I think it was 36 warriors. Don't bother the whole camp. Just bring 1,000. Okay, this is AI. Like, we're just going to squash this like a bug under our feet, right? They come back, woo-hoo! Like they were just beat up. And it was because of the sin in the camp, right? This is because of Achan's taken heart. And, that's the example that we have. If we don't do things God's way, it's going to affect us, and it will affect God's army, ultimately. All right? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, we are grateful to be called your ambassadors. We're grateful to be called to this work and to be defenders of the faith and to deliver your message to the world as to what's right and what's wrong. And we know the world is far, far gone and deviated from your plan. And I just pray that we would be bold in our speech when it is called for, and that we can actually be your ambassadors for truth. So we are grateful for Christ and his example as the forerunner. May we continue to have a spiritual mindset, a mindset on the Spirit, is life and peace. And that's, of course, why we're here, Lord. We want that. And so, but it takes a focus, a kingdom focus, to do that. So I pray that we would go out from here today, continue in our efforts, but be continually have a mindset on the Spirit so that we can have that life and that peace that you want for us. So we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.